Praise the living Jesus. Happy New Month. Are you excited? Are you really excited? You sure? It's going to be a good month. In the mighty name of Jesus. Marvelous said, let us endeavor to invite people to church. You know, in the first service in the month of August, we'll be looking at, it's going to be a town hall meeting throughout the month. But in times like this, that will be the focus. In times like this, what should we do? I mean, the times are somehow. Am I right? Eh? I told my driver this morning, I said, let's buy fuel. You know, I said, hello, say full tank. Money ran 15,000. So I was looking at the 15,000 was, I think it was 29 liters. You know, go full anything. The times are somehow. So in times like this, what should we be doing? How do we cope? How do we stay above? You know, please, in the month of August, I want to implore us, don't miss the first and the second services. Please, just stretch yourself a little bit. You know, that you will come for both services in the month of August. And I know God will bless you. I can hear an amen. 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 The focus for the month, the theme for the month is God of all possibilities. And this evening, everybody is a minister. Everybody is going to be preaching this evening. God of all what? Possibilities. Who has the mic? You have the mic and you are staying at the back there. Eh? When you say God of all possibilities, what does it mean? What does it mean? Give it to me, Zokafo. Yes. Everybody, please just be attentive. We are all going to be here together. And I mean, it's going to be full interaction today. God of all possibilities. What comes to your mind?
Nothing. There is nothing.
There's nothing God
cannot do, no matter how it is.
There's nothing God cannot do.
Yes.
Please let me give to Mr. Mojela there. God of all possibilities.
It means with God, all things are possible.
All things are possible. All things are possible. You know, the interesting thing is, when you say God can do all things, He can do the things that are possible, He can do the things that are impossible for you. You know, there are things that you know. Is it possible to walk on water? Eh? Is it possible? Eh? Doctor, prof, what did he say? Except for God. There are some things that are impossible to achieve. So when you say God of all, it means that God can do the things that are possible and God can do the things that are impossible. Sarah was how old? When they told her that, where's your wife, Sarah? And they say, by this time next year, what did Sarah do? She laughed. Why did she laugh? She laughed because she was old. Not only that she was old, her husband, she called her husband my Lord, was also old. The Bible says she was above the childbearing age. Impossible. Impossible. If I'm going to ask Prof there now, that what happens after a certain, he will elect us. After a certain year, after some, maybe like, how many years, sir? Prof.
After menopause.
After menopause. Yeah. Menopause comes maybe like 45, 50, 60. This woman was maybe 89. Long after menopause. Impossible. So she laughed. So how can this be? It's not possible. Kosheshe. But you see, we serve a God that can make the impossible possible. We have stories of people without womb that gave birth. Impossible. Impossible. I've shared it here before. My bro had an accident and his hip bone here was crushed. It was crushed. I mean, the hip bone here was crushed. And the professor that was going to handle it said, this is 50-50, sir. It's 50-50. You know, we are going to take the operation into the X-ray room. Say it's 50-50. But on the day of the surgery, they went to do the X-ray. The bone that was crushed had fused. God of all possibilities. It had fused. So the prof thought that they brought a wrong X-ray to him and was started blaming this. Why are you mixing up things? No. Why are you mixing up things? Go and do this proper one. They went to do it again. The bone that was crushed had fused. The prof told my dad, he said, all my years of whatever in medicine, have never seen this kind of thing before. God of all possibilities. You know, and we're going to be speaking to ourselves this evening. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Somebody give someone the mic to somebody to read, please. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. We're going to be starting with that. And then we're going to look at a story in the Bible. We are going to analyze it. It's not going to be a message. It's going to be Bible study. Ephesians 3:20. I want somebody to read from the crowd, from the audience. Job, give it to somebody. Just give it to anybody. Ephesians 3:20.
Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
Okay, let me read the Message version. It says, God can do anything, you know, for more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. It says, now to him, the NKJ, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. So let's analyze that verse of the Bible. Now to him, who is the him? Okay, now let's look at that verse. Give it to Aduke. What was that verse? What does it minister to you? Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What does it minister to you?
Okay, for me, this verse just simply means that there's nothing that we bring before him that he cannot sort.
Okay.
So even when we feel like it is way above our own imagination, there's nothing that he cannot do, even beyond what we ask him.
Thank you very much for that, your opinion. Yes, I want other people to speak. Now to him who is able, give it to my brother here, Victor. any answer is right.
Okay. The only thing that points out to me are some words there. That would be what we ask or think, and the power that works in us. So okay. That means we have limitations. We have all other things that, as human beings, are limited. But once you are able to look unto Him, He breaks all boundaries, all protocols. You can do anything according to how you grow in Him.
Thank you very much. Give it to Mrs. Adeni.
Yeah, that is according to the power that works in us.
Okay.
I believe that's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
And that power has no limit.
The power
of the Holy Spirit.
Where is that power resident?
In us.
Okay, is it so, automatic?
No.
Huh?
No. So we have to accept, we have to have God. We have to have accepted God, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior.
Accepted Jesus?
Yes.
Okay. Now, it says, now to him who is able.
Able.
It means that God has the ability. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that God will do it. It doesn't mean that he will do it. It says, now to him who is able, the ability is with him. He has the ability to do anything. Whatever you ask, he can do above it. Exceedingly above what you ask. The ability is there. He didn't say that, now to him who will do. It's like, you have a power plant. You have a power plant. You know, with the power plant, just bring light like that. You must connect to the source. It is at the level of connection to that source that will determine whether, okay, who experiences half current in this house? Half current. You know my experience, half current. Kilo Mangbe. So what is the power in you? What is the power that you have generated from the source? Is it half current or is the current full? It is when the current is full that you can tap into this. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or think. Even what you think, what you imagine in your mind, God can do more than it. Even what you think in your mind, God can do exceedingly, abundantly above what you think. That's why sometimes when they tell you to ask, people will be asking for peanuts. With God, they tell you to ask, you'll be asking for things that man can do for you. He's God Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth. Don't ask for little. Because God can do more than you ask or you even imagine. Now we're going to be looking at the story in the Bible. We're going to be analyzing it too. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Where's the mic? So give the mic to Mrs. Uchefuna. We'll be reading the verse of the Bible, and then we'll be looking at it. So, Mrs. Uchefuna, read verses 1 to 3. 1 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 3.
It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of...
Please, listen attentively, because we're now going to generate issues from what she's reading to us. Okay, ma'am.
It happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. Then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and they are in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Engedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah.
Is that three of you?
And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah.
Please read four. Read four. And verse four.
So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord.
Now I want you to put yourself in the position of Jehoshaphat. What do you think happened here? Give the mic to, or you want to explain? Eh?
Okay, let me try.
Okay.
I mean,
put yourself in Jehoshaphat's shoes. I mean, okay.
It's like something that one cannot tackle. But I'm sure initially when that thing came to him, he was taken aback. But you see, on thinking, on retrospecting, on doing so many things, he remembered the Lord. That, let me go to the Lord. Just like we too. Some things just happen, blah. And maybe we don't want to show our fear in the presence of our children, people around us, people that know that we are Christians. And we begin to wonder, we begin to think, what am I going to do? And it now came to you that, ask the Lord. Something like that, that's what I'm thinking.
Thank you very much.
And now going to the Lord.
Thank you very much. Now, somebody else to take it from there. What's your opinion of those four verses? Put yourself in Jehoshaphat's shoes.
Well, I think what happened there was that there's a conspiracy against him. It's not only one place, the Moabites, the Ammonites.
Nations came to attack him.
They came to attack him. And he could see
in
that.
In fact, the Bible says a vast army. And the way they explained it, they were very close. Continue, sir.
And so he could see that there's nothing he can do alone.
Thank you very much. First of all, what did he do?
He realized that he cannot do it alone.
So what did he do? Eh? No, he feared. Fear is natural. I mean, who will not fear? Pastor, who will not fear? Eh? All those, say a vast army. You know, so he feared.
So he called his people.
Thank you very much.
And said they should fast.
When you are in trouble, don't stay alone. Never stay alone when you are in trouble. Never. He says he gathered everybody. Everybody, he gathered all of them. Every one of them. He says, let us seek help from the Lord. Then he did what? He ran to God. He ran to God for help. These are difficult times. These are tough times. When you are in this kind of trouble, don't stay alone. Do you remember that Reverend tells us that there's nothing the church cannot handle? Eh? But, you know, what will happen is that there's a fear of rejection. What will they say? Will they kill me for so? They will tell me no. No, don't fear rejection. In this kind of situation, there was an attack. It was overwhelming. They were coming, a vast army. They were close. He had to call all the people. He had to call everybody. Please, these are tough times. Never, ever stay alone. Now, give it to Mrs. Ibikunle, read from verse 5 to 9. Verses 5 to 9.
Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule all over the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hands is there no power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? And you not our God, who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel, and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. And they dwell in it, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, disaster cometh upon us, sword and judgment, pestilence and famine. You will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry to you in affliction, and you will hear and save.
So, tell us what happened then.
Well, I think he was trying to remind God of his past dealings.
He was just worshiping God.
He's telling him what he did in the past.
Thank you very much.
Reminding him of his promises for his children.
Yes.
And what he promised doing for them whenever they have trouble.
Yes. 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 Exactly what we should do. When there's trouble, because we have a God of all possibilities, there's nothing he has not done before. There's nothing. So when you're in a fix like this, what should you do? Worship him. Oh Lord, Emma Dishebairi. You have done this before. You said when we're in trouble, we should call on you. Oh God. He worshipped him. When you are in this kind of situation, what do you do? Is it man that you worship? Or you worship the God of all possibilities? I can imagine the church. You see, the population in the church this morning or this evening is a reflection of what is happening outside. It's a reflection. But the truth is that it is not God that you run away from. Because it is only God, only Jesus can say, hallelujah. Only Jesus can save. It is only Jesus, at this time, it is only Jesus that can save. If there's anywhere you should run to, it is to Jesus. If there's anywhere you should run, it is to church. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run in, and they are what? And they are saved. This is the time to run in. Not to run out. Because there's nothing outside there. The person that you are running to is also looking for what? For help. He's also looking for help. Give it to Tola. Let Tola read from verse 10. Tola, read verses 10 to 12.
And now, here are the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whom you will not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of the possession which you've given to us to inherit. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against the great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
So, what's your take on this?
After,
what was Jehovah's Shad doing here?
After he had put God into remembrance of what he has done, so he's now telling God that this is the problem we are facing.
He was
now
having a conversation with God.
That this is the problem we are facing.
Did God not know?
God knows.
Eh?
No.
God knew. God knew the wahala. But this man was still having a conversation with God. Continue.
So he's not telling God, you know, the Bible says, ask and you shall receive. It's not that God, as you've just said, it's not that God does not know what they are going through, but God just wanted him to say what he wants.
To speak. Yes. When you are in trouble, have a conversation with God. Don't say, Oluwa, Erimio, Erimio, Erimio. Speak with God. Converse with God. This was what this man did. At the end of the day, he now said, we don't know what to do. Oh Lord, help us. We don't know what to do. We're in a mix, we're in a fix. But oh Lord, help us. So after the worship, he actually had a conversation with God. That was a conversation with God. Verses 13 to 15. Give it to Brother Victor here.
Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives, and their children, stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asa, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Explain to us, my brother.
Okay, after the exhortation to God, the conversation, then, you know, in the assembly of the children, God manifested himself by coming to, you know, say that since I know that you are in this problem and you have asked me, I will defend you.
But what was the first instruction? He says, do not be afraid
or dismayed.
Or discouraged. He now says, the battle is not what?
It's not yours.
The battle is not yours. No matter what you are going through, the battle is not yours. You can't fight the battle. You can never fight the battle. It's not yours. But you see, he says, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. At this time, this moment, in times like this, fear is natural. In times like this, discouragement is what? Natural. But the Lord is telling you this evening, don't be afraid, don't be discouraged. Why? Why is he saying that? Huh? Because the battle is not yours. You can't fight the battle. The battle is God's. He's the one that can fight the battle. He's the one that owns the battle. He says, don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Just a palm. The battle is mine. It's my own. Give it to mommy there. Please read 16 and 17 for us.
Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Aziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you.
Okay, ma. Kilerim bae, ma.
The Lord told them what he is going to do.
Okay.
He encouraged them.
Yes.
And tell them the strategy of how they're going to win the battle.
Uh-huh. Thank you. Thank you very much. You see, in that part, 15 and 16, the Lord told them what was happening tomorrow. God is the one that knows tomorrow. He told them where they were. He's the one that knows what will happen tomorrow. He knows tomorrow from today. The only thing God said, I said, take your position. Then the question you ask is, what is the position? He says, take your position. You must be well positioned. Take your positions. Only take your position, then stand still and watch the Lord's what? Victory. Take your positions. Be where you should be. Do what you should do. You know, in the last 2, 3, 4 weeks, I've been talking about that 2 Kings chapter 3, 16. I say, dig the ditches. Dig the ditches. Dig the trenches. You know, it's the same thing. You know? Take your position. Do what you are meant to do as a man. But as man, you can't fight those people. You can never. But there is a position that you take. He says, take that position. Don't be discouraged. God knows tomorrow. God knows what will happen tomorrow. God knows the strategy for the battle. He says, then stand still and see what I will do. You see, the fact is that it is not your battle. But it doesn't mean you should be idle. You know, it's not your battle, like we've established. It is God's battle. But he says, take your position. Don't be idle. Do what you are meant to do. And see what the God of all possibilities will do. Let's read 18, 19, 20, 21. How's that, okay? You want to go to 1, 2, 3, 4 verses.
Verse 18. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all the Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. Verse 19. Then the Levites of the children of Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets, and you shall prosper. Verse 21. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercies endures forever. Hallelujah.
Thank you very much. Oh yeah, preach to us. What is in that? The explanation before that was take
position.
Positions. They took positions here.
Yes.
What did they do?
So like you said before, we have to do what we have to do as human beings.
Yes.
So this verse is just showing that they obeyed the Lord.
The what?
They obeyed the Lord. They obeyed his instructions.
Okay.
And they were victorious. And so even after they were victorious, they didn't just go back like they won the battle. They still went back to thank God. Like the one leper that went back to say thank you. So they just worshipped and reverenced him.
They worshipped God.
Yes.
They worshipped God. And they told them, believe the Lord
your God.
You shall be established. Believe the prophet shall do what? Shall prosper. So they believed. Number three, they appointed singers. Take your position. What are you doing in times like this? Take your positions. Do what you are meant to do. They worshipped. They said, believe the Lord. You must believe. You must believe. Then the third one, they said they appointed singers. Now let's see what now happened in 22 and 23. Who is next? Joba. Okay, you want to go to that end?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You bribed him. You bribed Toba. You bribed him. Ah, Pastor Lofun. Why Pastor? Okay.
Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord personally...
When they began to sing and praise, Emma Kalosa.
The Lord personally sent ambushes against the people of Ammon, against the people of Moab, against the people of Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated.
Explain for what?
It was just natural for God to fight when, number one, they obeyed him. Number two, they sang unto God. Number three, they gave him all the glory and the praise. And God fought for them. He defeated their enemies that were three before their very eyes.
Thank you very much, sir. Do you know praise is the cheapest access to the Most High? Praising God in a situation like this. It is the cheapest access to the Most High. How can you praise God when the vast army is coming? How can you praise God in a situation like this? Praising God, you are bringing down the presence of God, because God dwells inside praise. He says, when they started to praise God, there was an ambush. They were together before. What happened? God of all possibilities. They were united before. They had just one goal before. To kill, to finish those people. But as they started to praise God, what happened to them now? What happened to them? Do you understand the power of praise? Let me read Psalm 114, 1 to 8. When Israel went out of Egypt, the house of Jacob from a people of strange language, Judah became his sanctuary. Judah is praise, and Israel is dominion. The sea saw it and fled. The sea saw it and fled. He saw praise. Praise Odio and fled. Jordan turned back. The mountains skipped like rams. The little hills like lambs. What else you all see that you fled? Oh, I'm better question. Kini koto ori, see that you fled. Oh, Jordan, that you turned back. Oh, mountains that you skipped like rams. Oh, little hills like lambs. Tremble, oh, earth, at the presence of the what? Of the Lord. At the presence of God of Jacob, who turned rock into a pool of water. When you praise God, you are invoking the presence of God. So in times of this trouble, what should you do? Praise Him. Our time is fast spent. Let me... Verse 24 says, please project verse 24. No, 24 of 2 Chronicles 20. Okay, let me read it from here. It's another version. It says, so when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. Not one, without lifting a finger. There was no sword, there was no gun, there was no knife, but everybody was what? Dead. God of all possibilities. Everyone was dead. Now let me read verses 25 and 26 to let you know that now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the valley of blessings, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the valley of blessings today. Did they ask for the plunder? Did they ask for the plunder? Did they ask for the valuables? Did they get it? God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above what you ask or imagine. In the month of August, Emma Jeka Fishery, please, let's encourage our people to attend church, Sunday services, both services, and even the Bible study on Tuesday. The Lord will bless us. And you will see the God of all possibilities raw in our lives, in our homes, in our businesses, in our careers, in our health. In Jesus' name, amen.